This morning we're going to talk about faith. Faith. That's a very, very important subject. In fact, this particular Lord's Day, it's Lord's Day 7 in the back of our hymnals on page 14. Lord's Day 7 deals with faith. It is really one of the most important Lord's Days in the entire catechism, because it introduces the content of what we are to believe. The last question of this particular Lord's Day is the Apostles' Creed. And when we come to that, I want all of us to say the Apostles' Creed together as a statement of our faith. And you can read it right here. I think most of us know it by heart. But this is indeed the content of our faith. And then the subsequent Lord's Days, all the way through 22. This is Lord's Day 7. It goes Lord's Day 8 through 22 are explanations of this creed. It's the content of what we believe. This is the content of the holy Christian faith. This Apostles' Creed, by the way, goes back to, well, it's not exactly known exactly the year it started. It's called the Apostles' Creed because it was the teaching of the apostles. It goes back to the basic confession that Jesus taught the disciples to teach the people in His great commission. You recall Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." The Trinity, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is the outline of this Apostles' Creed. God the Father in our salvation, of our creation, God the Son in our salvation, God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. That's the outline of the Apostles' Creed that we're going to recite presently. And this goes way back. It goes to Christ Himself. It also, the truths of these confession, of this confession, goes back to the Old Testament. The Bible is summarized, really, in this confession. So, starting with question 20, which is on page 14, the back of our hymnals, is the first question. And this is a good question. And each question is good, and the answers are amazing. Okay, the first question is this. Are all men saved through Christ just as all were lost through Adam? The answer is no. Not all men are saved. Only those are saved who by true faith are grafted. That is an important word. Are grafted into Christ and accept all His benefits. What is true faith? True faith is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in His Word is true, it is also a deep rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not only to others but to me, to I too. Not only others but I too have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation. What then must a Christian believe? Everything God promises us in the gospel. This gospel is summarized for us in the articles of our Christian faith, a creed beyond doubt and confessed throughout the world. What are these articles together? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now we can say amen to that, can't we? Before we open this great truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, as we look at these great truths, we pray that Your Holy Spirit may guide us and lead us and help us not only to understand it, but to have it, to have this faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the great chapter on faith in the Bible is Hebrews 11. I'd like to read the first six verses of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is found on page 1874 in your Bibles. This is about faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now look at verse 6. This is a key verse in the Bible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So far the reading of the Word of God. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, this morning we're going to talk about faith. Faith is a tremendously important subject. Faith is that which gives us eternal life. We don't earn it, we simply believe it. What is faith? What is faith? Okay, there was a fire in a home. The second floor was ablaze. And the firemen were around. They were pouring water on that house. And there was a little girl in her bedroom on the second floor, and the window was open, and she was trapped. She couldn't get out of that room because a fire was in the hallway. And she was afraid to jump. The firemen had a big, thing that she could jump into, and it would be safe. They're big men, big husky men. They all stood and they said, "Jump, jump." She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. Then her father came and said, Janie, this is Daddy. Jump to me." And she got on the windowsill and jumped, and he caught her. Why'd she do that? Why didn't she jump to that thing that these husky firemen were holding? Why didn't she? Because she didn't really dare to. But when her father came, she knew him. And she jumped into his arms because she knew him. That's what faith is. Faith is knowledge and confidence. Knowledge and trust. Knowledge and assurance. That's what it is. Now the question is, do all people have it? Does everybody have faith? Everybody is sinful. Everybody is lost in Adam. But is everybody who was lost in Adam saved by Christ? And the answer is no. Not everyone is. Do you know that there's a real place called hell? And those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior are going there. There's a real place called hell. Do you know that Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven? And He warned and warned and warned that we not go there because that's the place that the fire never goes out and the worm is not killed, and the worm is, it's horrible. The most horrible thing you can possibly imagine is what hell is. No, not everybody who's lost in Adam will be saved in Christ. No. But only those who by true faith are grafted into Christ and from Him receive all His benefits. Two words, grafted and receive. Now, do you know what grafting is? Do you know what grafting is? That's an old word. It's a Bible word. It's used by Paul that the Gentiles are grafted into the vine or the tree of the Jewish people. The faithful Jewish people, they're not the only ones, but Gentiles are grafted in. So that word graft is used in the Bible. As you may know, I served last year the Ripon Zion United Reformed Church. Ripon. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but the big crop in Ripon is what you and I say is almonds, but they say almonds. And if you say almonds there, they say, wait a minute, those are not almonds, those are almonds. You don't say salmon, you say salmon. That L is silent. So it's almonds. Now, do you know that every almond tree is grafted into a peach tree root for two reasons? One is the peach is sweeter than the almond nut. And the almond nut that grows on the peach root gets sweeter than if it were grown on an almond root. Second reason, the peach root is sturdier and faster growing than the almond root. Those two reasons. That's why every single tree that you see in these orchards that are just by the acres and acres and square miles all around that area, you'll see just above the ground a large knot of a mature tree. And that knot is where the graft was. And the graft is made when it's just a baby tree, just an infant tree. Why do I say that? I'm telling you this because that's what grafting is. Now, you and I, by faith, are grafted into Christ. Now you say, how does that happen? I want to recall for you the form for baptism. You know that following the words of Jesus, we are to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by baptism, we receive the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace. Now, in the form of baptism, it says this: and when we are baptized into the name of the Son of God, that's the second person of the Trinity, when we are baptized into the name of God the Son signifies and seals unto us that He washes us from all our sins. And, now here's a key word, and incorporates us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection. Now that word incorporate is the same as grafting. That's the same as grafting. Grafting. We are grafted into Christ. And baptism is the sign of that and the seal of that. You know whose work that is? That's God's work. God does the grafting. Jesus refers to that in John 15 when He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And My Father is the husbandman, or the orchard grower, or the horticulturist, or the farmer. My Father is the gardener. And it's My Father that incorporates us into His Son, Jesus Christ. He grafts us into the true vine. Now that's His work. We are actually passive in that. We don't do the grafting. You cannot graft yourself into Jesus Christ. It's impossible. God has to do it. And He does it. He does it by His grace. By putting you where you are, by leading you. He does it. He engrafted me. He engrafted you into His body, into His church, into the fellowship of Jesus' death and resurrection. He incorporates us into that. Now that's His work. And the second word is our work. And we receive and accept all His benefits. That's us. We got to receive it. We've got to believe it. We've got to accept it. We've got to say, this Jesus is mine. And we do that by faith. We believe it. We trust Him. We know that His Word is true. That He cannot lie. And that when He incorporates us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection, the benefits of His death and resurrection flow to us. But we must receive it. We must believe it. If we're stubborn, if we say, no, this is not for me. If we stop going to church and we separate ourselves from the body of Jesus Christ, that's terrible. Jesus warns about that too in that John 15 passage. He said, He that remains in Me will bear much fruit. But if they do not, they will be cut off and burned. and cast into the fire. That's a terrible thing. That's what you call a covenant breaker. And so, true faith is laying hold of our Lord Jesus Christ, into whom the Father grafted us. And we lay hold of Him by faith. Another illustration of faith is what I heard and learned, read from Professor R.B. Kuyper. Now, maybe you've heard of him. He's no longer living, but he wrote quite a few books. One of them is The Bible Tells Me So. And in that book, there's a chapter on faith. And he starts off the chapter on faith by telling about this illustration. He talks about a train. And a train has an engine. And it has cars. But there's got to be a connector between the cars and the engine. Now Jesus is the engine. He's the one that pulls us. God is the engine. And we're the ones that have to lay hold of Him. Trust in Him. Be connected to Him. You have the same thing really in a tractor and a semi-trailer. The semi-trailer is connected to the tractor. Whether it's a Peterbilt or a Freightliner or a Mack or an International, the big semi-trailer is hooked on to the tractor. And all of the lines are connected. The lights, the brakes, the signals, anything else. For electricity, for refrigeration or whatever. It's all connected to the tractor. Now you and I are to be connected to Jesus Christ. He connects us and we have to receive it. We have to believe it. We have to trust Him. That's our responsibility. Do you know that when the Philippian jailer, who was in charge of the jail in Philippi, and heard Paul and Silas, who were bleeding and just beat up badly, and they were singing at midnight, and the whole prison shakes because God is sending an earthquake, and the jailer thinks that they all escaped and he's ready to kill himself, and Paul says, "Don't do yourself any harm, we're all here." And he gets a light and he comes and he says, "What can I do to be saved?" What does Paul say? "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." Thou and thy house. Believe. Take hold of Jesus Christ. Now what does that mean? What is true faith? The Catechism gives a classic answer. True faith involves two things. It involves, first of all, knowledge. As the answer says, true faith is not only, but also. Not only this, but also that. So it's two things. First of all, it is a knowledge and conviction. You know what a conviction is? A conviction is something that you hold for absolute truth. It's a solid commitment. It's a conviction. A knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in His Word is true. That first of all. Faith involves a knowledge and conviction that this Word of God is true, that it is the truth. Paul says in Romans, he says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on someone they never heard of? Well, they can't. They don't know. They're ignorant. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. The first part of faith is knowledge. It's a firm knowledge and conviction that this Word is true. So to have faith means, first of all, we got to know this Word. We've got to know what it says. We've got to know Jesus, who is the center of this Word. That's true. Second, true faith is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything that God says in His Word is true, it is also a firm assurance, a deep-rooted assurance, created in me by the Holy Spirit through His Word, through His Gospel, that, and here it is, it's an assurance, deep-rooted assurance, that all my sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. That's a new relationship. That's what we receive from Him. A new relationship. That all my sins are forgiven. My sins, past, present, and future. All my sins are forgiven. That Jesus died once for all. And He paid the price once for all. That all my sins are forgiven. And second, that I have true righteousness with God. That I have been made forever right with God. That I'm a new person. So a new relationship. I'm a new person. I'm now right with God. I'm His friend. And the third is that I have a new destiny. Third is that I have been granted salvation, a new destiny. So it's a new relationship. I become a new person, and I have a new destiny. That my sins are forgiven, a new relationship. I'm clean. I'm with Him. He is mine, and I am His. A new person. I am righteous with God. I am His beloved. And I have a new destiny, eternal salvation. That's what faith is. Faith is the knowledge of God and the assurance that all my sins are forgiven, that I'm right with God and I have salvation. Now my question to you is this. Do you have it? Do you have true faith? Now, do you know that the word true is very purposefully put in here? True faith. You know why? Because there's such a thing as false faith. James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know what he means there? He means it's not only saying, yeah, I love the Lord. It's not saying, yeah, I'll accept this. This is fine. The Bible's a good book. It's not only saying, Lord, Lord. It is doing what the will of God is. You see, James says, faith is a very important thing. But faith without works, faith without a life to back it up, is dead. You know what James says? The book of James, he was, by the way, the brother of Jesus. You know what he says? He says, you say that God is one. You're no better than the devils. They do too. Faith has to be backed up by works. It's got to be backed up by a life. A life. In that passage I referred to a minute ago in John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." This is what He says. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in Me," that's grafting, "and Me in him," that's accepting Him, "the same brings forth much fruit, for apart from Me, you can do nothing." You can do nothing without Him. So I ask you, do you have this true faith? And is your life showing it? Now, if you have true faith, you will know it. You will know it. You know why? Because you will love the Lord. You will love Jesus. You will love His day. You will love His Word. You will love His people. You will love your wife. You will love your husband. You will love your children. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, self-control. That's how you know. By fruit. If you plant seed, how do you know if it's growing? If it comes up and it bears fruit. Same way with us. Do you have true faith? Now that is a wonderful gift of God. But it's also an activity that we must do. We must believe. We must believe. And believing in the Lord Jesus Christ means that we repent from our sins and we repent and are truly sorry for every single sin which goes against what Jesus says we ought to do. So repentance and faith go right together. The word in the Bible that speaks of repentance and faith together is the word conversion. Conversion. That there's a change in our behavior, a change in our outlook, a change in our thinking. And we begin to think God's thoughts after Him. And so faith, it's created. It's created by God. It's a gift of God. He's the one that engrafts us into Christ. Its character, of course, is that it's knowledge of God and assurance. And its source is the Holy Spirit who works it in our hearts. And its content is everything that the Lord has taught us in His Word. And so again I ask, do you have this true faith? And let me ask a second. Is your faith growing? Is it growing? You know, we have a wonderful corn crop this year. You can tell because the fields are just beautiful. It's alive. Are you alive? Are you alive in Christ? And are you growing? The last words that Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, Peter says to his people, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to keep growing. We can never sit back and say, well, I have faith and now that's it. I'll just rest on my laurels. I'll just let it be. No way. That faith must grow. It must be fed by the means of grace. And the means of grace are the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments of the Lord. Now, your little child, you're each one of the little children here. And not only the children, but the young people and the parents and probably all of us have been baptized. We were baptized. That is the initiation. That's the coming into the fellowship of Christ. And that is also the grafting. Grafting. And now we have to grow. We have to receive it. Until Jesus comes again. When our faith will be made sight. So this is what true faith is. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing of the Lord. Faith means we trust, live for Him, and pray in faith, and know He hears us and loves us and will never forsake us. We're going to pray for little Caroline Postma. When we pray, we know we're talking to God. We're talking to a real God person. And He loves us and He loves Caroline. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. That's faith. It's taking God at His Word and living it. Tonight, we're going to see one of the most remarkable things in the history of the world. And that is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who was a hater of Christ, and he became one of the greatest missionaries and preachers the world has ever seen. We see a man who was truly converted, who had that faith. Didn't have it, but got it. And so, we'll see you tonight.